Welcome to B2B, the Business Club podcast. My guest today, Keely Rowland. Thank you ever so much for being with us, taking your time to come and talk to us. Before we get into what you do and how that's transformed, would you be kind enough to give us a little brief introduction to yourself?
Of course. So, hi. Firstly, thank you for having me. Quite excited about having a good chat and talking through everything today. So I'm Keely and I am one half of BU Wellbeing. Do have a business partner, Abby, who unfortunately couldn't be here with me today. So we are BU Wellbeing, which is a corporate wellbeing company platform that we have created, designed, had developed over the last 12 months. Really off the back of our hobbies and interests. So me and Abby started out as friends, still friends, which is always a good sign. Yeah, always a good sign when you're in business together that you finish it and come out of it still friends. Yeah. So we started out the BU side of things purely off the back of doing wellbeing days for lovely groups of mainly ladies initially, where we'd do a day full of everything wellbeing. But our main aim was to aim it at normal people. So it wasn't about saying you've got to do 10 hours of mindfulness and meditation and yoga every day. It's like, how can we help normal people do things slightly better, which will help their health, etc. Wanting to develop and expand on that brand and be able to work with more people, we decided to enter the corporate world. So we have, off the back of our knowledge, experience, years of working, developed a platform that sits within your business, really alongside your employee, benefits kind of section. Yeah. It's everything wellbeing. It's all your mindfulness, meditation, yoga, nutrition, everything you can possibly think of, physical, mental, physical and mental, emotional. And it's a subscription-based platform. And then off the back of that, we then become your wellbeing advisors. Okay. Within your company. But we can expand on that. Yep. Further.
Yeah, so we'll go back to the beginning and we'll go from there. So originally you stood for a degree. Sports science?
Yeah, sports studies sports I did, studies. So.
And personal training, coaching. So was it always, did you always want to pursue a career in health and fitness or?
No, well, yes. So taking me right back to school, I wasn't really actually, say I wasn't that active at school. I was, but randomly I did sailing and canoeing and water sports, which not very many 12, 13-year-olds got the chance of doing. So I never really did like the whole team sporty kind of thing, but always knew that sport... I actually thought I was probably going to be a PE teacher.
Okay.
Which I think 20... Oh my gosh, more than 20 years... Oh my days, a lot more than 20 years ago. 30 years ago. Yeah, I liked keeping fit. I'll be a PE teacher. Went to university and studied the sports studies side of things rather than sports science because I was always a lot more interested in sports development, sports management.
Yeah.
I'd worked for the local council from the age of 16. Was it 16? Yeah, being a lifeguard in the little sports centres and stayed with Tamworth Borough Council throughout my degree and worked at what then was Clasters Peaks Leisure Centre, so you guys now know it as the Snow Dome. But originally, when that first opened, it was half the Snow Dome, half Peaks owned by the council. So I kind of fitted into that mould, went down the sports management route, and that was where I thought I'd stay.
So what then? When did the jump into the career with corporate sales?
So soon into my working life after graduating, there was a period of time where the council basically sold the leisure centre off and it became privatised. Super long story short, within a few months, the private company that bought the leisure centre side actually went bankrupt and we all lost our jobs. So I was like, this career I'd planned, the way it was all going to go, all went to pot. And I was clearly with lots of student debt and needed a job, basically. I ended up working for a company on the back of an agency called Accident Exchange. And I stayed there for 10 years. So it was one of those moments that paths that just took me in there, and it was brilliant. Still have a lot of contacts in the business now, stayed friends. And I think that's where the whole ethos came from with me about being happy in your employment. Because they were a brilliant company and still are to this day. And going into a role that was completely off my track, but I was happy. I enjoyed my work. The company looked after us. I enjoyed the role I was in. And I had 10 really nice, hard years, but good working years in account management. However, after a 10-year period, the pressure of sales, targets, driving around the country, living in hotels, all of that all starts to kick in. And there definitely becomes a definitive, right, there's a time, there's a lifetime on this. At that point, I was only, was I even 30? I don't think I was even 30. I was like, Jesus, it's a long time till I retire. It's a long time till I retire. Is this what I want to do? So I kind of started to make the transition. I thought, I'm going to move out of this business and I'm going to get myself, because that was very pigeonholed to working in the car dealership, in automotive, which again, I loved. But to expand anywhere else, I needed to get out into the big wide world a little bit more.
Yeah.
So started making these moves. And then as you go to different companies that don't, mentioning their names, but don't look after employees as well as I was looked after,
yep,
it becomes very apparent that this is stressful, this is hard work, this is tiring, this is a lot of miles. And yeah, the dynamics of my work life changed drastically over a 2-year period, and all those lovely little perks and stuff that I used to get had gone. And that was when I was definite. I had to have a strategy. I had to have a get out plan, because there's no way I can survive this for another 30 years. And I mean, that's not me putting out there to everyone, if you're unhappy, like, leave your jobs. I'm not saying that. Please don't leave your jobs. But this was where I really had to start looking at what other skills I'd got, and where I could take my work in life, really. And this, previous to that, I'd got into triathlon. So from about 27, I'd started becoming a lot more active again, got into triathlon, got back into coaching. So all these little things that I'd forgot I'd even really got in the locker, all started coming back out and becoming present. I started doing a little bit of sports massage again, doing a little bit of personal training. And then kind of off the back of that, I was like, I think I can make this work. And I did. Within that, I also got back in touch with an old friend who has got fab little chain of gyms, 4 gyms. So I went on board with him purely because, you know, I was living on my own, got a mortgage, unfortunately, not sat on a bank full of money, if only, not sat on a bank full of money. So I'd got responsibilities. I needed to know I could pay my bills, pay my mortgage, and keep my life going without relying on somebody. So I went in with Jay at Gymunity, got a few hours there. And yeah, everything kind of became reality again for me. And I came out of the corporate. I feel like I gave up work, which sounds ridiculous. I didn't give up work because I still work very hard and I still do a lot of work. But I think coming out of that corporate world into a self-employed world with flexibility and time and, again, doing something that you love, you don't feel like you go to work anymore. So that's kind of where it all changed across for me.
Yeah, look, so you're not telling anyone to leave the job or such, but the amount of times that we talk to people and they have that moment where they just go, right, this, I've got to stop, I've got to move, I've got to go do this thing that I know that I should be doing. But it's a very select few people that actually take the jump. I think, you know, there's a lot of people that will be sitting in a job 30, 40 years, if they're lucky. I mean, if you're lucky enough to have one career like that. But they'll be saying, what if, why aren't you not wanting to do this? But does seem to be a pattern where you start getting into something and then that leads to that and that leads to that.
Yeah, I think as well, I think a lot of people, which I totally understand, because I was kind of there, I think we're very scared, we're very ruled by society and we're very scared to allow our minds to even think any differently. And it might not be that, you know, you're dreadfully unhappy at work. However, you might just need to adapt and change and just be open to like looking at your work in life, looking, you know, being truly honest with yourself about, okay, so how is it all working for me? What am I doing? And it can be a bit brutal and nobody wants to kind of go, I'm not getting that right, or I could do that better. It's almost a little bit of self-sabotage sometimes, but actually if you go back to that, you can make changes without actually having to change anything. Really simple little things that will make you happier within, you know, you could fix one element of home life, which has a massive effect on work. You could fix one element of work life, which then has a knock-on effect on home life. Like, it's not always about just jumping ship and doing something differently, but I think we're all very guilty of just getting stuck on this pathway and very tunnel visioned. And again, these crazy rules that somebody in society has made up that we think we've got to stick to, because that's what this rule book says, but actually this rule book doesn't exist. It doesn't exist.
When you're in one place for a long time, the world seems like a very small place.
Yeah.
Once you're out of that.
Yeah, you become very institutionalized and tunnel visioned, and we just become so scared. And I get it, because we have pressures of so many other things. So, you know, I understand that. But I do think if we can just be a little bit more open-minded, and I don't mean extremist, but just a little bit open to different things, I think people will start to change without even realising.
So you began with the retreats. How did that come about, and how did you...
So off the back of my, so a little bit about Abby, quickly, I know she's not here. So Abby is a personal trainer. She is a yoga teacher, nutrition, everything, but maybe more down the holistic side of things than I am. Whereas I personal train, I sports massage. I'm not a yoga teacher. sports massage, work in the gym, still very much about mindfulness. We kind of pulled our skill set together.
Yeah.
So we've both got a very similar skill set, but with totally different avenues. So mine has come off the back of I needed to exercise, wellness, nutrition, looking after myself kind of helped me mentally, physically.
Yeah.
And became life. And she's, like I say, down the more holistic side of things. So off the back of us, we created these let's do some wellbeing days for people, because we've got all this knowledge, all these skills. Let's pull these days together. Everyone loves a retreat day, but let's aim it at normal people. So this was pre-lockdown, the dreaded lockdown. We'll get on to that. So pre-lockdown, we started doing these days and they were great. And again, it's not till you throw yourself into these situations that you sit back and you go, actually, like, I've got a lot of knowledge. That sounds a little bit arrogant. I don't mean it arrogantly, but I've got a lot of knowledge. I've got a lot of connections. I've got a lot of experience. Actually, I want to share this with people. Like, I don't want to keep all this to myself because this is selfish. Like, it's massively helped me. So let's get this out there and let's, you know, even if we can just help someone in one tiny little element,
yeah,
that's better than not helping somebody at all. So these days became about BU wellbeing days, and they were great. It was all about nutrition, mindfulness, meditation, exercise, yoga, just a really nice day packed full of goodness, really. We sent people away with loads of material, and then they have access to us, because again, it's not going, oh, I'm a know-all and I know everything, but actually, if I can share this, then share away.
Yeah.
And then the dreaded lockdown happened, which kiboshed us getting together in lovely, lovely locations and doing nice things together. And we just wanted to then, we were kind of racking our brains. We did some stuff online, which kind of worked, but it wasn't. The one thing with me and Abby, I think we are both, and definitely me, we're people. Like, there's nothing better for me than being with someone, talking and like sharing experiences like face to face. So the whole online thing with little groups, I don't know, it just felt like something was missing. And then as we come out the back of lockdown, again, we're a few years, I don't know, how many years is it now?
Yeah, you lose 3 years of your time every time you think about it. I didn't say 3 years, it's 6 years, but yeah.
I think we've lost
2021, wasn't it?
Oh my God, so we have, that we're another yeah, 3 years on, aren't we?
2020 came, I went back in, didn't it? It was pretty much 2 years, wasn't it?
Yeah. So then coming out of that, everything started to evolve even more for people, didn't it? The whole mental health, physical health, stress, burnout, anxiety, really, it's so apparent now. It's scary. And, you know, again, that's a whole nother subject. I don't know where this increase has come from. Is it because of social media? And everything that we just see more of it, that it's more accessible. I don't know, like yeah, I say.
I think that does play a big part, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Like we were saying earlier, obviously your time is spent in and around gyms, isn't it? And obviously when lockdown came, the kibosh went on that. There was no more gyms, there was no more being together, there was no more working out together, there was no more group activities. So you take that, you send those people home, you give them these doom-scrolling social media apps where the whole world's burning.
Oh my gosh.
The news is Boris Johnson giving us more bad news every week about you're still not going to see your parents and your grandparents for another 2 weeks. And just like a ticking time bomb, really, wasn't it? And now I think, like you say, we're bearing the fruits, aren't we, of the results and the consequences of that?
Yeah, and you know what? It's going nowhere, unfortunately. Like, I think this now is with us. So we were like, how can we reach out to more people? Again, in the last few years, the demands of society and the financial pressures and inflation and, oh my, again, another subject, but workplaces. We're having to work so much more. The financial pressures on us for the majority of the population is insane, like literally insane. So the time we're spending at work, gone of the days where you just have a 9 till 5. Like, I don't know about you guys, but our parents just went to work, one job, one role, 9 till 5. I'm like, wow, if only. I add up sometimes. I'm like, oh God, I've done 60 hours this week. I don't even know where. Whilst having a life, whilst exercising, whilst going away. I'm like, I don't even know where this comes from. However, we have become these people and these beings that seem to be able to do that. But I think for, again, a massive percentage of the population, we have no choice because we have to, we the financial pressures on us is crazy. You know, there are fortunate people that aren't affected by that, but there is this pressure. So the work, and again, from a company point of view, the pressures on businesses to have a better turnover, to earn more money, or their costs have gone up, so they've got to bring more money in. So if a company's got to bring more money in, then you're the staff. You've got to deliver for these businesses. So then the pressure comes onto the employees, which then this is where all the stress, the burnout, everything starts kicking in. And where do we spend the majority of our time? At work. And again, watching how the world was going, some of the big corporate businesses, manufacturers, all you know, everyone's now started, there's a big buzz, employee wellbeing, corporate wellbeing. Yeah. Are you looking after your employees? People are off with stress, anxiety. Some of the statistics are crazy. I mean, don't quote me, purely because the quote police, okay, yes, stats are wrong. However, if, you know, I think it's something like 50% of the workforce that are currently off sick, 50% of those off sick, it's all down to stress, anxiety. You know, it's madness. So employers are having to look after their employees. And it's not about waiting. In our heads, it's like, it's not about waiting till that person's at that point of burnout, at that point where they can't cope, they're off sick, they're on antidepressants, all of these tablets. It's like, right, who can we work with, and how can we work with people in bigger quantities by being with people in the workplace, by creating this platform and sharing our education and sharing our contacts and our knowledge with people in almost like a proactive approach, rather than waiting till it's not too late, but till the detriment's already happened, by helping change behaviours, by sharing, like I say, just sharing what we have, will hopefully help change people's behaviours, give them little tools, give them, not literally like a spanner and a screwdriver, because that'd be a bit weird.
Go with a little
BU toolkit. But give them these like little tools that will help them in their everyday life. And again, the people that we've spoken to already, there's so many things that are so normal to us that are so, people have no idea because they've not been fortunate enough to be in these positions where someone shared this with them previously. So we were like, workplace is the way forward. And also for companies, I mean, we can literally work with anybody in any industry that has employees, whether you've got two, whether you've got 200, whether you've got 2,000. The way we've set this up, it's a bespoke. However, we can work to your demographic. There's no kind of rules. It can be changed. It's perfect in that respect. But what it does, it gives these smaller businesses that haven't got obscene budgets to have a bespoke build done themselves. I mean, some do. I've got friends who work for Jaguar Land Rover. They've got an amazing platform, almost like the same kind of plugin that we've got, which you would expect for an organisation of that size. However, they've had a bespoke build. Perfect. And then partners, spouses, everyone has access to it. But again, some businesses aren't that fortunate that's not an option. So by being able to work with people like ourselves gives them that option and the resources for a fraction of the cost, more than anything. And I think with us as well, with the whole BU, the irony for us, you've got businesses trying to do it, which, brilliant, you know, hats off, you're making a conscious effort to help your employees. However, it's almost a little bit contradictory, because you're helping stressed, overworked, staff potentially, too much demand on them for the hours they're at their job, to then do something else. Yeah. So you're giving somebody the role of a wellbeing advisor, which, brilliant, but actually they've already got their job. So again, this is where it comes into. We're no longer just one head in our work. And people are making a great go of it. Like some of the businesses that we've been talking to and some of the things you see, you think, you know what, fair play. Like, you're trying.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes that's all it takes. Whereas now, actually, if you allowed us to work with you, the money you're spending, that budget, rather than giving that pressure to that member of staff, let us take control of it. So we implement the platforming for you. And like I say, it's just a wealth of education. There's a yoga library, there's nutrition plugins, all the recipe packs are like MyFitnessPal, Scannable. There's exercise libraries. There is, what else is in there? There's links to all your experts. So it really is like a one-stop shop. So rather than going, I'm thinking about a coach, or I could do with a bit of counselling, or actually I could do with a bit of support on that, or I want some help with nutrition, where do I go? It's all in this one site. We've partnered, and again, this is where it comes back to, you think, gosh, over the years we really have built so much knowledge and experience, and I'm so privileged to have the relationships that I've got with some like really top end good people out there that have been in the market for years, and I've got access to all of that. I'm like, oh well, for example, one of our supplement suppliers and partnerships and friendships, it's not a partnership, it's a friendship, we work with the Real Health Store, and Dean, his wealth of knowledge is it's worth its weight in gold, the products that he's developed, everything. And I'm like, oh my god, it's my mate, like, get him in so we can share that with somebody. So it's making sure that the information that you're then putting out across to people, you know, it's credible. Because there's that much out there these days. It's where'd you go for all of this?
This is it, isn't it? Against the kind of the TikTok and Twitter generation, where everything is. Everyone's an expert all of a sudden.
Aren't they?
Like you say, putting the responsibility on a person within a business who hasn't been trained and doesn't have that experience. Like you say, it's counterintuitive, isn't it? It's not.
Yeah.
It's contradictory to its purpose because they don't know how to implement wellness. So what does that then do?
Exactly. It almost puts like an added potential stress on them.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can, off the back of that, we then, if you've got our platform, we then become your advisors as part of like the basic package. So you get us then, we do a weekly wellbeing feed. So it's constantly being fed into your business. It might just be that actually today we're just sharing some information. It might be a little video. It might be, you know, a top piece of information that's come out. It goes in. So it's constantly being fed. So your employees, it's always on their mind more than anything. They then have the access to us directly. So if anyone's got any questions, any issues, or anything they want to discuss, they can email us. If anything a little bit more substantial came in, then we would obviously make a decision. We can then refer this on. We can then liaise with your HR, however this may need to go. We then have like a bespoke consultancy side of things. So say if you're a company that's like, no, you know what? My employees, like, they're everything. So, you know, we want to go that little bit further with them. People, we can then do a, like, almost like look at your demographic, do a business case over it for you, and put together, you know, wellbeing days. It could be that we do, if you're a bigger organisation that has got a level of wellbeing advisors in, brilliant, we can do a bit of mentoring with them. We can help them, we can guide them, and give them just a little bit more tools to make it easier for them. Because I've had people, like friends of mine, they're like, oh my God, Key, I'm a wellbeing advisor. I get £500 every 4 weeks or whatever. I bought them pizzas today. They felt, I'm like, yeah, great. they'll get an instant gratification because they've had some pizza at work. But actually, you're wasting just on your team potentially £2,000 a year and getting nothing back. So there's the whole business development.
I think there is kind of a misguided idea of what rewarding employees is, isn't it? When you see on LinkedIn and the old look who's got the pizzas in or who's got the beers in. Like on a Wednesday afternoon, maybe not everyone's into junk food and beer as a reward. So maybe
I understand it. I get where you're coming
from. Because what are the other options to someone that you're, okay, how do we reward our stuff?
Yeah.
We'll get some beers. We'll get them some wine.
We'll take them bowling.
Yeah.
But what actually you could be doing with that budget is, you know.
So one thing I wanted to ask you about.
Yeah.
In regards, so I've always worked in rain construction and wellness and personal well-being and health around construction is pretty much non-existent. Saying the statistics on suicides 4 times higher than any other industry. What are your thoughts on that? What are your thoughts on improving and kind of how to navigate that for people that mainly as well kind of work away from home, so they're living in the pub of a night, talking to the same guys, plasterers, bricklayers, electricians. The nutrition's not good because they're eating fast food or they're eating in the pub or the...
Yeah.
So how would you even begin to kind of navigate that as an industry?
So I think firstly, this is where, the relationships we've built over the years with people. We've got some fantastic kind of people within us and part of us. And the whole male mental health thing is, wow, it's crazy. It's obscene, really, with just how untalked about and unspoken. So some of the men, sometimes you do find guys respond fine to women, but actually we've got a few real nuggets in our locker of men that I've got a lot of experience with working with men through all different industries that we work with and share knowledge with. And again, having that educational thing. So a lot of men in that mindset, you know, they don't want to sit in a room. They don't want to like open up and start talking and then all of that. But the fact that all this support is online and it can be drip fed through to them,
They
can start reading, they can start looking at things. You might find the odd email comes in or WhatsApp message where the questions start opening up. We can do, and we would look to do kind of online potential like mindfulness sessions, meditation sessions, yoga sessions. So they don't even have to have like their camera on. So no one even knows they're in that group. So that whole pride, if they might be a little bit embarrassed, Everything can be kept kind of discreet. But it can start to just open their mindsets to different ways of thinking about things. And I think with people in that situation, which there are so many, like, it's scary. And everyone says, you talk to guys, and I've got a good friendship circle, and I've got a lot of male friends as well as female friends. And they always say, always the same, the lads will go, you know, a relationship breaks down or something's gone wrong at work or they're stressed. They'll be like, mate, you all right? Yeah, I'm fine. Come in the pub. No one ever goes, but are you actually okay? No one asks those deeper questions because a bloke will go, oh, no, I'm fine. They're not fine. They're not. And it's getting them to be open-minded to different things. And I think this is what's really nice about the approach we've taken. It's not hard. It's not in your face. It's not going, you've got to meditate for 10 minutes a day. It's not saying that. It's just a real gentle feed and support system of, you know what, maybe try this, or there's a little snippet. There might be a 10-minute yoga session. Just give it a go. And as soon as their minds start changing slightly, that's when it all starts opening up. But I would absolutely love to, you know, to work with, I think that'd be almost like a real, what's the word I'm looking for? like a real thing for me, like to get like a construction or a very male orientated where they're not connected, they work remotely and use them as like a case study. I think it'd be so interesting. And I think what we would get off the back of it, again, with the connections that we've got, I think would be would be great, and would be a real good kind of testimonial to show that, you know, just dig a little bit deeper.
If you can just get some, just have someone. It's essentially as well, it's an older generation of men.
Yeah.
So it's not the internet generation, obviously.
No.
The skills coming through, the younger skilled labour now is a bit more internet savvy, and you know, will be on sorts and WhatsApps and stuff. But yeah, that's your trick. And if you can get someone to just watch a short video, or send a WhatsApp message at the moment, sends, I think it's like a huge difference.
Definitely. And you know, getting them. And again, I'm very fortunate with the people we've got. We've got an amazing male yoga teacher that works with us, but he's more than just a male yoga teacher. It also helps that he was a comedian, so he's hilarious. So I think for men, he's just a broga, as he calls it. But for men in particular, having this guy that's insane at yoga, is really present and, you know, into all of it, but then it's hilarious.
So we touched on earlier, employers, employees, the relationship since COVID, since the great resignation, hybrid working. There's now a big push to people to come back into the offices. So it all seems very heavily loaded towards...
I reckon that Prince Times, debate.
Well, oh yeah, I'll bring that a bit. That's freaking rambling. So the relationship between employers and employees, where is the line for you as a provider of a service? Obviously, you're pushing towards the well-being of the employees, but where does that sit for an employer in regards to balance?
Yeah, I think this is a real imperative and a crucial kind of thing to talk about, because I think that, like you say, off the back of the COVID and everything we created in people working from, we removed everybody from an office, we put them at home, we cut them off from everything. So what that then created was all the power, I suppose, being with the employee. However, we have to remember that actually we do have jobs and we do work for an employer that still has a business to run. So I think we need to be confident as an employer in pulling back a bit of control, in putting boundaries in and being confident that actually, okay, it went down this route, but we have to remember where we were before COVID, because life did exist before COVID. I think that's where I think things have changed. I think people think that the world didn't exist before COVID. No, it did. We all went to work 5 days a week. We all went to an office, whatever those, or wherever we worked, and our personal lives and our family lives. And
well, the thing to
you. Good job, you know how to edit stuff.
When we did Tim Andrews, there was a miscommunication there, so they put us in another room.
Oh, yeah.
And you've shown downstairs, and the lights on the centre.
I was like, go down.
So every night I'm getting a blank. And so the amount of the ones in Tim Andrews' interview, the amount of times he cuts to the same bit image of me and him looking like interested in what he's saying, where just he's had to cut the visual off because it's gone black.
Yeah, you go from the buzzer light before COVID. Okay. So yeah, there was a life before COVID, and I think this is where people have forgot because that's all that's talked about. But we need to, as the employer, pull the reins back in, put some boundaries back in. You know, it's not, you know, well, how's the best way to put it? It's not unfair. It's not, we're not being mean, like, but no, guys, this has got to work for the company. The company doesn't work for you. You work for the company.
because that's how work always used to be. You know, we were, God, some of the things now I think I would not have dared say that to previous managers and employers and directors. I'm like, I would have been out.
That's it. I'm sure back in previous eras it was the same. I'm sure previous generations look at what would have been our generation when we were younger, and we probably said things and did things in a different way. But yeah, there's definitely been a shift, hasn't there, into kind of putting all the power with the employees. But a lot of businesses, call centres and contact centres, where you've now got people, large workforces working from home, and they've settled quite comfortably into that.
Yeah.
And they're happy to not commute. They're happy to have the dog or cat in the background. I get to walk the dog. I don't have to sit on a bus for an hour. How do you change that mindset?
Again, that's a big mindset to work. Firstly, I mean, could you imagine going, sorry, I can't come to work today because of my dog? Like, I've got a dog. I love my dog. But it's like, no, you still have to go to work. So I think this is where, again, working with people, sharing, helping, kind of helps put boundaries back in. So it's like, right, guys, okay, I'm willing to be flexible. I'm willing to allow an element of hybrid working. However, your core hours are this. You have to be in the office. Okay, you've got a dog, but there's doggy daycares. Children go to nursery. Children go to school. It can't be a thing. I mean, we wouldn't take our kids to... I don't have children, but if I had children, you don't take your children to work with you. So, no. And I think this is where almost employers can't be almost scared or inferior of the employee. No, this is the rule. Sorry, guys, but we provide childcare voucher services to help. We do allow an element of flexible working. Again, working with companies like us that help support your well-being. So we've put all the tools in place. They're all there to support you and to get you back into this, but you've got to do your bit. And I think we almost need to be brave again. And, you know, you're not doing anything wrong. It's not out of the ordinary to ask you. I can't believe I'm saying to ask your employers to come to work. It seems so foreign to even be saying that. I'm like, but that, unfortunately, that's what it is. This is the reality of it now. So as long as you've got the tools in place, and like you say, the support services, the flexible hours, if needed, then no, like, almost like put your big boy pants back on and get them back in. This is what, and it is good for us as human beings. And I think a lot of this, especially mental health, again, I'm not an absolute expert, but I think a lot of this, we've lost sight of reality. We've cut off from the world. You know, we were told to stay apart. Don't even talk to people, kind of thing. It's like, no, we have to bring that integration back together. We have to get people being okay with working with people. So moving on, as much as we've created an online platform, which I suppose sounds a bit ironic now, but actually we want people to be able to sit and talk again, be together, not just live through a screen.
Yeah.
Like, we've just become so reliant on screens. Actually, no, let's reconnect. And then let's use the online platforms to bring, especially corporations that are regional, like, then just use it as an added tool to bring all your regions together. So it just creates an even better community. Like, use it to enhance rather than use it as a negative. And I think with all the stuff that employers are having to do, you know, some employers are amazing. Like, they really are. They're going to town. They're throwing money at things. But actually, you need to remember your business a little bit. I'm not saying lose sight of your employees, but actually, is this working financially for my company? You know, am I getting a return off it? Is it helping with productivity? Actually, are my staff going off sick? Less. So again, where we come into that, we would then analyse and look at the facts and the figures and the stats behind it, and see if it's working, like the productivity is there for you. Because again, there's no point doing all this stuff if actually you're getting nothing back from it.
Yeah.
So we have to remember that almost like commercial element to all of this, because we're a business. We're not just an organisation that has a group of people doing stuff and they feel like it and kind of thing for us. So it just pulls it all back together, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. They're far done.
So, yeah. So to wrap, to kind of sum up and formalise. Right, so something I'd like to ask is, from start a business, run a business, what have you learned, or what would you say would be lessons that you would pass on to someone, similar situation to yourself, that wanted to go out into business themselves, doing something that they love? What kind of advice would you have for them?
So I think for me, I think the first thing is, like, don't be scared. I was so scared. I was so, oh my God, no, I've got to earn this much money and I've got to do this. But actually, things happen. Just believe in yourself. Definitely believe in yourself. Be present and be brave, because actually, like, you change these things and it works. And then you start, before you know it, by being open to different things, like so many different things then present to you. It's invaluable. And I think for me, this whole, and I think Abby's the same, like the BU side of things, I'm doing all this as well as working. And I'm so fortunate with the organisation and, you know, being part of Gym Unity and that community, like, it really shows that you can work hard. I mean, I work a lot of hours, but I enjoy what I do. I work for a great organisation that, like, respects us, but respects their business too. And it just shows that actually, like, I want to share that with other people. And if we can help...
Well, if you build it in the garden, they're like...
Well, I've got it. I've still got it in. It's fine.
Don't cough, please.
So I think if we can help create an environment within a workplace where your employees are happy, but as an employer, you're happy too, and you're getting the best out of your staff that then rewards your business, then that's what we want to do. That's what we're here for. It's to work for both sides. So, yeah,
excellent.
That is us.
Thank you ever so much for your time today, Keila. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It's been a great talking.
You know, I hope that I get that shit built or whatever it is in the field.